Thanks for listening to the How Not to Think podcast. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, welcoming you to the show that considers topics like cognitive bias, binary thinking, stereotypes, all of which influence how we think. If you want to delve deeper into this topic, please check out my book, I Think, Therefore I'm Wrong, available at Amazon, and my author page there, Dr. Howard J. Rankin, where you'll find several other books of mine, and you can also check out my website at drhowardjrankin.com. Thank you. Hi, and welcome to the How Not to Think podcast. Podcast gets you thinking about your thinking on almost everything. Today, I'm delighted to have with me April Steppelman. She is a healing arts practitioner, very competent in a number of different disciplines and therapies. And one of her main goals really now in her career, as it's evolved, is to help people align their purpose and values with their career path, as well as helping them find balance and help them through burnout and all that sort of thing. Anyway, enough from me. Welcome, April.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us today and share your experience and expertise in, as I mentioned, a variety of the healing arts and really helping people find a better balance in life. How did you get to this point in your career?
Long, long road. So I started as a body worker, massage therapist when I was 19. So I've been in healing arts for now 18 years. And I bloomed into a healing arts practitioner through, starting with very physical. We learned physical therapy techniques, hydrotherapy, cryotherapy, all of the therapies, the physical therapies. And we even had a physical therapy, a physical therapy business at our massage school. And then I got into the energetics and I learned how our consciousness and how we think and feel about the world affects our physiology. And that's been my journey all these years. And really what leads my passion for wellness, when I was a child, how we do that practice where we go back to our childhood and think, what did I play as a child? And I used to play doctor, nurse, and teacher. So I've really combined those, and I feel like I am ever evolving on that path and just supporting people. And I just have a very curious nature. The other thing is my father died of lung cancer. So that's something I'm very passionate about as well. And quite a bit of cancer in my family and people that I know. So that's another area that I love to research and support really the growth and understanding of all of that. So that's what's led me into my life experience and working with individuals. And over the years, people come to me and they want me to fix them. it's difficult for people to understand how they're like how their thoughts and how they perceive the world, they're carrying it in their bodies. So that's what I'm all about, just helping people understand that connection.
Yeah, lots of things I'd like to pursue there. But one thing that I absolutely agree with and find fascinating, is this notion of going back to childhood and the thoughts, sorts of things we were interested in, did. And how so often, even after we've forgotten all about that, those same interests, perceptions manifest themselves. I'm sure you find that a lot, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had trouble in my life figuring out, what do I really want to do? And really, all I ever wanted to do was be a stay-at-home mom. That just shows my caring nature. I just really want to care for people. And that's in my future, in my path, is having a wellness retreat center. And that I love hosting space. And so I co-facilitate retreats and I do the transformational piece of retreats. So now I'm really excited about helping people align their values and purpose with their career, because so many people feel disconnected, and I myself have been disconnected from that. And I kept coming back to that place of, okay, I'm a caregiver. And, you know, it's been a long road, and I see so many people still feeling that disconnect, like they want to do something else. They feel like they're just looking forward to getting off work, looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to vacation, and they don't know how much they're dying inside, or maybe they feel like they're dying inside and they don't know how to really fully live and thrive. So yeah, that's to support people in finding that alignment and connection.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And the other thing is that it's you have to make a big effort to take the big 30,000 foot view of what you're doing, because otherwise it just breaks down into a series of tasks you have to do, and it gets detached from the bigger meaning, right? And so we're not very good at that, I don't think. We think it's just a check-off list. Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. And the sort of bigger why of you doing that, apart from the money part of it, the bigger why of doing that very often gets lost. And we don't ask ourselves why.
And you spoke specifically on the energy drain. That is the big energy drain that most people have, and they're oblivious to.
Is that right?
Normal. Everybody's tired. Work is stressful. Life is stressful. It's all draining. And it's our perspective in not being connected with our mission, vision, values, and life purpose, right? And right. If we aren't able to see that connection, then we just do what we feel like we need to do, and it's too much pressure. It's too that is the energy drain. And here's an example, perfect example. If you think about, you can close your eyes right now and ask yourself, what can I activate within me to achieve the desired results today? What can I activate within me to achieve the results I desire today? Now, if you feel connected and you know right away, this is what I can do, aha, and you lighten up and you mm-hmm. go for it, then mm-hmm. you're connected with your values. Now, if you feel like there's a heaviness, then there's a disconnect. You're not understanding how your values are aligned with your daily activities. And that's where we can make that adjustment and know what the underlying beliefs. There may be a belief about yourself that is in the way that you're just not aware of. It's just there lingering in the background. And that's where we can let go of our thinking. And that's the power of meditation. You know, there are many ways to get there. Right. And shifting our frequency, this is what I like to help people become aware of too, the physical hardcore evidence that we've been able to measure is our brainwave frequency. When we're in high beta, we are in stress mode, get shit done mode. And we shift down to a low beta, high alpha, we're in the perfect alert state for learning and growing and taking action. That's an active alert state where we feel good. And then when we shift down into alpha, we're chill, we're in chill zone. We can just relax, just be, maybe read, watch TV. And then this is where we can shift into theta. When you feel like you're zoning out, that's when we hit theta, when we can let go of the thoughts. So that's what we do in meditation, many of the healing arts, hypnotherapy, theta healing. That's where the magic happens. And that's the space right before we fall asleep. So there's so much more. We could do a whole webinar on that.
Yeah, we could. We could. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people don't know how to be in anything other than beta and maybe high alpha. And if they're not there, they are feeling unproductive or whatever. Whereas the fact is we need to spend more time there in those lower sort of processing, lower level states where we can get to a state of calm, relaxation, drop the usual editors that we're looking at the world through, and experience. And that is very important, but you know, has largely been lost in the modern world.
Yep. We become human doings.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Human beings.
Yeah, no, exactly. We do. We do become human doings. And, you know, that is important. I think that is important. I think it should be taught in schools, for one thing. The notion that these different states of consciousness are all important, you know? And again, unfortunately, we live in a society that's all go, 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 rah, rah, rah. If you're not, you know, flying 100 miles an hour, you're not doing enough, you're not, et cetera, et cetera. That's a poor message to convey.
Yeah, well, I guess designed that way. That was for the industrial age.
Yeah.
Actually thinking about doing a program, just a free program, short mini video series, audio series, and helping people to shift to the information age.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
How can we prepare for robots to come and take over our workforce? We're in the information age.
Give us time to get down into a more appreciative state. Because it's very difficult to be flexible. It's very difficult to be mindful, appreciative, have a sense of your meaning or purpose if you're just going, and task-oriented. Yeah. Not that that's, you know, obviously some of the time you need to be like that. It's the balance.
Right. Why do we want to do that? Many people get to the end of their rope, burnout, crash, and mm-hmm. burn, and they're in a place of maybe their nervous system broke down, their body's breaking down, their internal organs are breaking down, all kinds of different ways that people experience burnout, maybe a panic attack or a heart attack that gets them to wake up and look at their lifestyle. So that's where we can build awareness around that and look at, why do we want to do that? And right. How? So,
and is there even an alternative? And as you say, how? And I think that's where I think that's where your skills come in, is teaching people not why they should, just why they should be doing it, but of course, how to do it. I'm sure you've got lots of great examples of people who've come in at the edge of or in burnout, and have over time with your help, you know, emerged into quite a different mental state.
Yeah, I've seen all the phases. I really just got shivers because, you know what, I have some amazing success stories, and then I have some other clients who, you know, practicing body work, they just wanted me to massage them. So for the past 7 years, I had my own massage practice and I would travel to clients, and many of those clients, they just wanted massage. They just wanted to relax. They didn't want to change their lifestyle at all. So there's one client in particular didn't really take care of himself, and he loved alcohol and he just didn't have any need to stop. And, you know, his body was breaking down, and, you know, he would ask, like, what are you doing this Saturday or whatever? And, and he's like, wow, we live very different lives. And, you know, he was okay with his life. He didn't want to change. And he had injuries that from his job. And so he was in chronic pain. And that's one that really could have, and I invited him many, many times to let go of alcohol, drink more water. And I always reminded him to drink more water. And he said, you know, the ice cubes and the alcohol don't count. I said, well, just drink a glass in between, you know. And, you know, that just is what it is. And he's not going to change until he's really ready. And then there are other people on the other side of the spectrum that also came for me for massage. They were referred to me, and this particular individual, she had already experienced a crash and burn. She was in the corporate world, traveling around, flying around, and she was loving her job. She felt like she had a good balance, although she was working all the time, flying everywhere. So her circadian rhythm was all out of whack. She didn't have any awareness around how to balance that and how important our circadian rhythm is. So I also do talk about that. I am very much into the scientific foundation, and I'm really intrigued by how, you know, the new studies in neurobiology and how we can hone our lifestyle and still live a very active lifestyle and compensate for it. So circadian rhythm is one big one, but she didn't know anything about this. And this was years went on where she was making great money and she was traveling around and loving her job, meetings all of the time and across all the time zones around the world. And one day her nervous system just gave out. She just didn't know what was going on. She was like twitching, you know, she never could find comfortableness in her neck, and she had chronic pain in her neck, and her nervous system just really broke down. She had the shaking and she couldn't control her nervous system, and she didn't know what was going on. She started seeing physicians. She had to rest. Her body was like, I've had enough. I've got to rest. And then she found out that her internal organs were breaking down as well. They were shutting down. They weren't up. They weren't functioning at optimal level. So, and she was in her mid to late, she was in her mid 30s when that happened. So, you know, we don't know. There are some 20-year-olds that have a heart attack. I just saw that on YouTube video. This lady on YouTube thought she was perfectly healthy and she had a heart attack. And so we all, it hits us in different ways. And back to my client, she had already been on a PAP for the PAP a year prior to meeting me. And she was on her healing journey. She had seen all types of different, she was into the alternatives. So she was seeing an herbalist, an acupuncturist, you know, all the specialists, and she just wanted a massage. And she came to me and I suggested, you know, there may be more to her shoulder. It may be more in depth. There may be more to understand here that I want to help you understand, and how you're holding your physiology and what are the underlying beliefs and thoughts that are maintaining that holding pattern, and what can you do to restore? So we began that conversation along with the massage, and she was so intrigued. She said, yes, this makes so much sense. And so she was an ideal client who really was, you know, she had experienced that burnout and she was on her healing path. And so she desperately wanted to get back to her whole and complete functioning self. And I think she was maybe a year and a half into her healing process and still was not ready to, she was afraid of putting things on her calendar, you know? So we worked together for several months and she saw really great progress in getting back to feeling good about putting things on her calendar and being ready to work. So so both ends, and really it takes, you know, hopefully people listening to this will look at their life and their lifestyle and see, do I have balance? Where can I find balance? What can I do to take care of my body and mind today?
Yeah, and of course, over the for centuries, certainly in terms of sort of more Eastern philosophy, the role of the body in pretty every aspect of human function, including the psychology and cognition, has been there. But it's, you know, now, fortunately, I think, that is gathering much more acceptance in the Western world, in this sort of combination of alternative or natural in sort of more conventional Western medicine. I think people are much more aware of it. Certainly, I've become more aware of it in the recent past in terms of the amazing, amazing complexity of the body, of the communication of the trillions of cells in your body that really are subconscious, obviously, and may present to consciousness. I think what happens is they present, here's what we think is happening, okay? Here's what we think is happening. But what we tend to do is that flashes into our consciousness, oh, that's the real thing. And then we react to that. And where really what it is, it's a pretty good but an educated guess about what's happening, not necessarily reality. And, you know, I think that's huge. I think that would be huge for people to understand. Yeah, it requires some work to think about, oh, okay, I habitually think this way, or, you know, my mind, body, spirit interprets things this way. But that's just one construction. There may be many other ways of looking at it.
And here's the thing, you know, we get to tune into our innate wisdom. And when we get more connected with the subtle shifts in you know, how we're affected by life, that's game changer, huge. And one big piece that I recognize for myself in the process of analyzing my underlying belief systems, I found out, I realized it was in 2020, you know, a lot of craziness happened. Mm-hmm. And I found myself saying a lot, wow, people are crazy. And you know what? I've had this belief my entire life. I always felt disconnected from humanity. Like, oh my God, it's like, it's hopeless, you know? So guess what? I've had a lifelong battle with depression because I always felt like humanity's hopeless. People are crazy. Why don't people see what I see? Like, I felt like I had this deep underlying, I felt like I had this knowing that other people didn't know. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Like, why is everybody else stupid? But I just felt, I had this underlying belief, and I realized, wow, just, that's one of those seemingly innocent beliefs that anybody is like, oh, that's harmless to just think people are crazy. People are crazy. But guess what? That sent me in a downward spiral of disconnection into depression. And I felt, and that was an energy drain for me. So I got to catch myself and rewind and redirect. And still, I'll catch myself. Okay, now I can, if something like jaw-dropping happens, I say something else. I just rewrite the script.
Right. And the problem that you come into there and we come into with our beliefs is language, because language distorts pretty much everything. I mean, the fact is, some people are crazy some of the time, right? Which means that some people are, some people aren't. Some of the time they are, some of the time not. There's that level of uncertainty. I had this idea, probably giving away the next future, you know, super tech idea, which was the ability, when you had an idea, you could sort of log in somewhere and you could find out when you first had that idea, where it came from, you know, and how much you were invested in it.
Wow.
And wouldn't that be cool?
Wow.
Hey, wouldn't that be cool?
You need a brain chip for that, or
I don't know, something, some neurotechnology. But oh, you know, when did that first happen? You know? And what were the circumstances? And who told you that? And have you ever questioned it?
That's actually what I take people on that journey. That's exactly what the Radical Reset Program is about. We don't, I get people to dive into their beliefs and look at where that goes. And so a few people that I follow, the neuroscientist, Caroline Leaf, she has a program she calls, or she's discovered neurocycles. And so the program that I had before I saw her work was very similar. I was like, wow, I'm on the right path. Like I had this, this overarching theme of building awareness and then resilience tools and for maintaining commitment, right? Movement forward and actions, embodiment. And with her neural cycles, she invites people to draw a tree and then you put, and you just focus on, and here's the key shift that I took into my program is to focus on one thing for 63 days, because we have this mastery mirage effect. So she suggests that we, so the tree, one tree is one, she calls them unhealthy habits. So like toxic thoughts or toxic behavior. So for me, we'll just say my belief of people are crazy. So I have a tree of this. People are crazy, right? That's my response. And then I have the emotion. So in the branches and the leaves are the emotions that we experience from that belief. And then below is all the roots of the tree are all of the things that confirm have built that belief. And then, so we get to look down into the roots. And when you go into the theta state and connect with the non-conscious, then our non-conscious knows so much more than what we know on a conscious level. So just taking yourself on that journey is very powerful, and even more powerful being one-on-one guided through theta healing or hypnotherapy. And that's what I'm learning now is something called rapid transformational therapy, where we do that very similar process, except one-on-one. And I, you know, after our intake and everything, figure out what you're wanting to work on. We focus on one thing. Then I guide you into hypnotherapy. And in that state, you're connected with your non-conscious. Then we get to explore the roots, the events, life events that have shaped your life and who you are now, and make those changes. So we focus on one thing, and then we make the recording of the transformation and what your consciousness, what we can reprogram into your consciousness or non-conscious. There's a non-conscious, which is different than the subconscious. You can have the non-conscious is like that. I call it the undercurrent of our life. That's our unconscious or unconscious. You'll hear them used interchangeably. And then you have the subconscious, which links us to, which we're a little more aware of, the subconscious links us to the conscious mind. And then with that transformation audio for the hypnotherapy, just the last piece, you listen to for at least 21 days. And so like I said, so 2 weeks is what they found. Like I said, Caroline Leaf, she's a neuroscientist, and they've done studies on people's brains and how they transform and how do we maintain that transformation. So she suggests a full 63 days, because after about the 2 week period, we feel like we have it mastered, then we move on to the next thing, and then it comes back. So when we complete the full 63 day cycle, and really the first 21 days is the transformation. And then the next 43 days from day 22 to 63, we are just reviewing. So we're still aware of what we have transformed and just keeping an eye on it. Just touching in with maybe one phrase. So it's a minute or less a day for that 43-day period, but not try to jump to something else, but just really confirm that imprint and maintain that new habit or belief.
Well, just for the listeners, how are you spelling Carolyn's last name?
L-E-A-F.
Okay, yep, Carolyn Leaf, L-E-A-F. Excellent stuff.
And the rapid transformational therapy is Marissa Peer. She's all over the internet world and traveling around the world. So people may have heard of her or seen her, but that's the hypnotherapy technique.
Yep. Yep. Excellent. And I'm sure very rewarding for you to see people challenge these things and be able to break free from them.
Yes, absolutely. And more so myself too. I love, it's a never ending journey for myself. And then when I get to share that with people and share in that growth, it's very fulfilling.
No, absolutely. And as you said, you're introducing now hypnotherapy into that process, which again, I think is a valuable tool, clearly when used appropriately, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. So your own evolution has really matched what you are trying to do with others. And sounds like you found your purpose for sure. Even if way back when you were a kid, or not so way back in your case, when you were a child, you couldn't identify these specifics, but this is what you were thinking about, right?
Yeah. I have been very fortunate in that I didn't have demanding parents or people telling me do this or that, It was, college wasn't are you going to college? It was, which college are you going to? And me being a little rebellious, but by the end of high school, I was thinking, I need a little break. I'm a little uncertain. I didn't know what I was ready for, because in high school, I teetered between teaching or psychology. And by the end, I was like, I don't know. I hate school. And I just felt in prison, and that was a part of my depression journey. I felt imprisoned, and it took a while to get out of that victim mindset, out of imprisonment. Yeah. And so I'm really happy that I took a break and I became a massage therapist, and
absolutely
my path to pay my way through college to study psychology. Mm-hmm. And still, I took another route. I started college, and I was like, ooh. They're forcing me to learn the same things I've been learning the past 12 years. Are you kidding me? I just saw the money scandal. And I was like, okay, I can study on my own. I'm just going to be self-educated.
Yep.
And self-led, self-directed.
And even though it may have been driven by, an inappropriate thought, as it were, actually taking time off before going to college, I think, is actually an excellent idea for quite a number of people. Not everybody, of course, but there are a lot of people where I've seen that works really well, really well.
And really, I really hope that we're able to shift the way that we educate our youth, helping them really discover what their passions are and help them to develop their way of being in a more effective, productive way. So that's the shift we make, and I get to make as a future parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that cycles back again to your purpose of helping people find that purpose and connecting what they do with the things that are meaningful to them. you know, and at 18 or 19, you know, I don't think you're there yet. You know, you need more experience. You need more. Yeah, you need to be out in the world more. You need to understand yourself more. You need to grow more that you can say that. And, you know, just plugging people in at a very early age and segmenting them off and giving them these false ideas about what they're good at and what they're not good at, you know, at the age of 13 or 12, in my case, 11, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. That creates a situation where we're just slowly dying. We get to a place where we're like, what am I doing? What am I living for again to pay the bills?
Right. So. And for a lot of people, it does seem like that. They just went on the treadmill that they were supposed to go to school, go to college, you know, follow up, do what they were trained in, and blah, 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 you know, and then arrive.
We're breaking down.
Yeah, that's right.
And emotionally.
Yeah. And arriving, as you discover, mid-30s, early 40s with these issues because of this dissonance between their life, their living, and really what they need or want to be living. And so important and so relevant today. So, yeah, excellent. Got many questions, but one is, do you find, and this may be too broad a question, are there gender differences here in you think, in how people respond to, identify, manifest these sorts of issues?
Well, there's an obvious difference in the brain functioning from masculine to feminine in some females. Mm-hmm. Biological females can have a masculine functioning brain and vice versa. So there, yes, obvious difference. However, the path is very individual, regardless, male or female. Everyone is individual. And however, we're all human. So it really comes down to understanding how my thoughts and how I perceive the world affect my physiology and how my being in this space also affects the space around me. So our bodies are always in communication with life around us, and we're learning how much our body language, how much our body language is a huge portion of our communication. We're barely addressing the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more communication going on that we haven't become aware of yet. So in that situation, you know, the process is very similar for each individual to learn that underlying communication for yourself, for the growth and development as, for you as a human being, and just knowing that how, you know, what thoughts and pictures we have in our minds affect how we function and operate in this world.
Mm-hmm. And I guess all of us have narratives at different stages of life, or maybe we never change them as to what's going on, you know, in our life. It could be, oh, I never get it right, or I get close, but I fail, or whatever. Right.
And in reference to the masculine and feminine, you know, there is a healthy and an unhealthy in all ways of being. So we do get to recognize what is the unhealthy masculine, how is that expressed, and what is the healthy masculine, and same with the feminine. So, and we have the masculine and feminine within us, and really the way I see it is the masculine is the structure, and the feminine is the flow. So we can see how that is expressed in us as individuals and what we express more of. And when we feel with anyone, we feel out of control, we're going to act out. And that uncertainty creates an insecurity within us. It creates a lack of trust in our foundational structure. So that's why we look at the masculine for that structure and support, and feminine for the beauty and flow and caring. And so, you know, those roles are all interchangeable, and we're learning how to grow in a healthy way and just shift from unhealthy to healthy. What are we recognizing as unhealthy? What's not working in our life? What's creating that energy drain? That's the easiest way for me, is check in to my body, and I can feel the subtle shifts in energy just by an inquiry. I think of something, and that's a good practice. Just maybe you can take that inquiry that I gave you early on in this conversation, or you know, anything. If you just acknowledge what that internal dialogue is, and then notice, oh, my energy just shifted. What was I just thinking? Mm-hmm. And I've had to do that too. Like, oh, where did my energy go? And then I rewind to, oh, that happened. And then I thought this, and then all of a sudden my energy just went, whoop.
Yep. Yeah. Tuning into that definitely can be very, very, very instructional.
And then that creates unhealthy expressions, because I'm functioning in survival mode. And there's a whole the science behind that. The blood's in the back of the brain, and then the primal, primal part of the brain. And then we take a few breaths. We slow our breaths, extend the exhale. The blood goes back to the prefrontal cortex, and we're able to think clearly.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Powerful tool to be right there.
There you go. Excellent. Great. It's been awesome. So where can people, I'll have some of this in the show notes, but where can people find you? Where can they reach you?
Well, I have a website, Wellbeing with April, and then you can find me on YouTube, where I offer, you know, guided experiences on there. And you can find me, Wellbeing with April, across social media, YouTube, and my website. So Wellbeing with April.
Excellent. Well, this has been time well spent with April. Thank you so much for being a guest. We'll have to do it again sometime. But really appreciate what you're doing and your own evolution in understanding more about how we work and how we align ourselves much better with our values and purpose, rather than just going on the hamster wheel and going wherever it leads. So I think it's really important. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and will join me next time on How Not to Think, and even subscribe to this podcast and also my YouTube channel under my name, Howard Rankin. You can also visit my website and connect with me at drhowardjrankin.com and Amazon for my books, and all of this is listed in the show notes. Till next time, have a great time and stay well.